Harry the Hammer with further review by Housecrafters. Housecrafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes exterior home services like roofing, siding, home additions, and much more. Call 716-646-NAIL.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Further Review Podcast with the Buffalo News. I'm Jay Skursky, joined by Perrin Keyes, Executive Sports Editor. And Perrin, the Buffalo Bills accomplished some history on Sunday down in Jacksonville. First win on the road in the postseason since the 1992 AFC Championship game, a game that was played in January of 1993. So you can do some back-of-the-envelope math and see how long that is. It's a long time, is the short way of putting it. But monumental, I think, in some ways, victory, right? Just because this is something that Sean McDermott and company had yet to do, win on the road in the postseason. It was a big hurdle for this franchise to clear, and they cleared it. And not surprisingly, they cleared it with a massive jump from their quarterback, right? Josh Allen, the best player, I believe, in the NFL, the best football player on the planet for my money right now. And I think Allen showed that yesterday in a lot of different ways. And as I'm speaking here, I'm looking at the game book and the numbers, Perrin, 28 of 35, 273 yards, one passing touchdown, 108.7 passer rating, 11 carries, 33 yards, two total touchdowns on the ground, including the go-ahead score with about a minute to play. The way that the Bills are constructed, Perrin, they don't have a ton of help around Allen, at least at wide receiver. They do have an all-pro running back in James Cook. They have some pretty good tight ends who made some key plays yesterday if the production was not, let's say, consistent. But this came down to Allen being the best player on the field, particularly in the fourth quarter. He outplayed Trevor Lawrence, his counterpart on the other side, and it's a big reason why the Bills are moving on to the divisional round. What did you take away from the quarterback's performance?
Well, I'd say, this is breaking news here, I would say it was pretty good. First things first, Jay, welcome back. For those of you who are viewing this, you can probably tell that Jay is indeed back in Western New York. He's not in Jacksonville based on the toque and the hoodie. He made it back safe, all is well. But yes, Josh Allen, what can you say? Look, Jay, going into this week, you had a great sort of breakdown of Josh Allen's season and when he was at his best versus when he wasn't at his best, and this year versus last year. And this year he did take a dip. His productivity and level of play wasn't as good as it was during his MVP season, but it stands to reason. And I think it's more than fair to say that throughout the season, even throughout his ups and downs, the ups have been ups. And when he's on, he's really on, and he is the best player on the planet. They needed for him, and will continue to need for Josh Allen to play that way. But he did. He did when the lights were brightest, as is often the case. And I will also say this, Jay, and I was thinking about this just a little bit reflecting during the game and in the immediate aftermath. I'll say this, and we need to talk about Allen first and foremost, but I think it's noteworthy to say that, you know, offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who has taken certainly his share of criticism during this season, a lot of it justified, more than justified, some odd play calling at odd times, you know, going to players who maybe aren't your sort of money men, so to speak, when you just as soon have the money men be the ones with the ball in their hands. I thought in particular the second to last touchdown drive the Bills had, at that point they had not leaned on James Cook a whole lot, and they had not really, just as you mentioned, Jay, not gone to their tight ends a lot. And then, you know, on that second to last touchdown drive, boom, 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 they put the ball in Cook's hands only once. But before you know it, the ball's in the hands of Dawson Knox again, and then also that great play. It was a great design, I think, and it certainly fooled Jacksonville. The fake screen and then down the sideline to tight end Dalton Kincaid. So give credit where credit's due. Joe Brady dialed up the right things. I hate that term, dialed up, but I just used it. He dialed up the right things at the right time, and you know, he was on the money in terms of what players to go to at what time. And then finally, to bring it back to Allen, I believe on that drive, if I'm not mistaken, that drive and maybe even the final drive, the ball was in the hands of your best football player, the best football player in the world when he's on. It was in his hands every single play but one, if I'm not mistaken. So look, big players in big games, that was Josh Allen. 2 AT on Sunday. You know, he got wrecked pretty good in this game. He took a shot to the leg. He took a pretty vicious blow early on that sent him to the medical tent twice. And we know that his foot is not 100%, even if he's not necessarily on the injury report. So when he put his head down, he put his head down and he fought through whatever may or may not be going on in his body and just put together a masterful performance. So kudos to him. And they're going to have another similar performance this week.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned the toughness aspect, right? Because we know the talent, but this guy plays through a lot of stuff. And two trips to the medical tent, that's kind of where I led my observations with, is that he is a warrior on the field. And I don't use that term lightly, but Connor McGovern, the center, told me after the game that you'd have to kill him to take him off the field. And that's the mentality that trickles down to the rest of the roster. And Sean McDermott said that after the game as well. When your quarterback shows that toughness, the rest of the roster is going to show that toughness, and we saw that. And so that quote from McGovern really stood out to me. Osiris Torrance told me that he could tell that Josh Allen wasn't ready to go home, and that meant the rest of the team wasn't ready to go home. And so, you know, it's toughness, it's leadership, it's, you know, fixing some of the mistakes that Allen had made at times this year. You know, I wrote about the sack number, 40 this year, big jump from where it was last year. That was a problem. Well, he was only sacked once yesterday. Ball was getting out of his hands really quickly, under 2.5 seconds on many instances. And pinpoint accuracy, you think back to Wyoming and Josh Allen coming into the draft and the concern with the completion percentage. I mean, the guy was just on the button all day, 80% completion percentage. So, yeah, this was Josh Allen at his finest. This was playoffs Josh, I think, is the best way to put it.
Harry the Hammer goes to work. Harry the Hammer here from House Crafters, and I am one happy hammer. We just finished this addition and kitchen, and it's beautiful. Look at this place. It's gorgeous. If you have a remodeling project in mind, a kitchen, bathroom, or mother-in-law apartment, one call really does do it all at House Crafters. For a free estimate, call House Crafters at 646-NAIL.
On to the defense, Jay, which needed to put together a good performance, particularly in the second half and in crunch time. It was not a perfect defensive performance, obviously. But I do want to I want to make note of something just sort of at the top of this conversation about the Buffalo Bills defense, not only this year, but particularly in this game, which is to say this is a defense that has had injury upon injury upon injury upon injury, not only during this game, but obviously going into this game and throughout the season. By my count, and I might be wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, you have 8 players on the defense who are on IR at the moment. Ed Oliver, Michael Hoyt, Dorian Strong, Taylor Rapp, Damar Hamlin, Landon Jackson, Jordan Phillips, Dwayne Carter. Now, I grant you that, okay, Landon Jackson, you know, not a major contributor this year. Rookie who's going through certainly some growing pains. Dorian Strong had a nice start to this season, but he has not been available for quite a while. But listen, Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin were your two starting safeties last year. And I understand Hamlin wasn't supposed to be a starter this year, but I'll put it to you like this. When Jordan Poyer goes down with his hamstring injury, and he's out for the rest of the second half, and you have to rely on Jordan Hancock to come in, wouldn't you, if you were a Bills fan, I got to guess that a lot of people in Western New York were thinking to themselves, boy, sure wish we had Taylor Rapp or Damar Hamlin back there to pair with Cole Bishop, the second-year safety. And so they really had to muscle through some injuries this year. To say nothing of, let's start with, you know, Terrell Bernard had to miss this game again. Where would the Bills have been, not only in this game, but this season without Shaq Thompson? And it brings me to, before I turn it over to you, Jay, that brings me to another point that I thought was relevant. I have to think that Sean McDermott, The job's not finished with him, of course, until he gets the Bills to the Super Bowl, and that's what he'll ultimately be judged on. But this year in particular, I have to feel like he ought to pat himself on the back and feel really good about where he's gotten this team, given all the injuries they've had, particularly on the defense, and then also as a special little victory lap for him. he's won a lot of these games with sort of his guys, right? With Sean McDermott's guys. And what I mean by that is Shaq Thompson, somebody he had familiarity with in Charlotte when he was with the Panthers. Tre'Davious White, I don't mind telling you, and I'm a Tre'Davious White apologist as an LSU guy. I thought he was washed. I thought he was done for. He just couldn't play anymore. Boy, he showed us something else aside from the notion that he was over the hill. A great performance by the defense, and Jay, I'll just turn it over to you and let you go with it wherever you want to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll start with Shaq Thompson. Sean McDermott asked the question in his post-game press conference, where would we be without Shaq Thompson? And that's one that we've asked, you know, several times, right? Because Terrell Bernard is, let's face it, he's struggled to stay on the field this year with injuries. And honestly, I think Shaq Thompson's been the better player when both of them have been healthy. And so you look at eight tackles yesterday, an interception, huge tackle for loss, or I guess it wasn't a tackle for loss, but it was a fourth down tackle on Trevor Lawrence that ultimately ends up going the Bills' way after McDermott, and let's give him credit here, throws the challenge flag, a good use of a challenge flag there. You know, you just go down the list, though, and I'm glad you brought up Trey White. You know, three passes defensed. I mean, the Bills saw something.
Big ones, too. I'm sorry to cut you off, but big ones.
No, all three of them. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the game-changing one at the end, right, that goes to Cole Bishop for the interception. Trey White's a great story. There's no question about it. But, you know, let's credit Brandon Bean. Let's credit Sean McDermott for seeing something in him that said, we believe this guy has something left that he can help us, right? And maybe is that as veteran depth, right? You know, you draft Max Harrison in the first round. You don't anticipate him getting hurt in training camp. You hope he's your starter at some point early in his career. Well, it never really worked out that way. You know, he does get hurt, and then he gets hurt in week 18, and he's not available for this game. Well, where would they be without Shaq Thompson? Where would they be without Trey White? You can ask this of a lot of guys. And, you know, it's a fine line that you walk. The old Bill Belichick, saying was that you'd rather move on from a guy a year too soon than a year too late. Well, you know, Matt Milano's out there on the first play of the game making a tackle for loss in run defense. And I think he has played better as the season has gone on. So, you know, the list of contributors for this defense is kind of goofy looking at it, really. Shaq Thompson and Jordan Hancock are two of your three leading tacklers. You would not have guessed that. Fedarian Mathis is making plays in the middle of the line of scrimmage. A guy named Andre Jones is called up making plays. So, you know, you talked about the injuries, eight guys on injured reserve. Yeah, they're not all starters, but, you know, there were some contributors in there, guys that you thought would have roles. And this is really what it gets down to, right? The playoff failures of years past have fallen mostly on the defense. You've said to yourself, what's gone wrong? Why have the Bills been eliminated in the postseason? Well, often enough, it's been the defense has not gotten consistently enough stops. And this is not a perfect defense. They did not play a perfect game yesterday. Far from it, actually. Jacksonville rushed for 154 yards, I want to say. 154 exactly as I look. Trevor Lawrence throws three touchdowns. So the Jaguars are doing things offensively. They're having some success. What do the Bills need to do? They need to take the ball away. They won the turnover battle with that final interception. They got two critical, critical takeaways. They got a fourth down stop that isn't classified as a takeaway, but in my mind is a takeaway. So they did enough at the right moments. And really what it says to me is this defensive performance answered a lot of questions. Can they get it done in the biggest moment? And we're going to get to this here, Perrin, in a second in our next segment, because McDermott put the defense back out there in a situation with a minute to go where they had to come through, and they did. And I'll be interested to hear kind of your take on that as we roll into our next segment here. Okay, Perrin, as we alluded to in our previous segment there, I want to get into a bit of fascinating sort of game management strategy here that came up in this game, a situation that you don't see very often. We'll set the stage here. It is 4th and 1 from the Jacksonville 11 with a minute 10 left. The Buffalo Bills run a tush push. It is potentially the first 11-yard tush push in team history, or in maybe in league history. It ends up being, after review, a 10-yard tush push, which was, Osiris Torrance told me, one of his favorite plays of the season, as he and Reggie Gilliam combined to nearly carry Josh Allen into the end zone. What a play that was. But anyway, so he's ruled down at the 1-yard line. It's 1st and goal now at the 1 with a minute and 5 seconds to play. The Bills take the snap, line up in the tush push again, and score a touchdown. Now, we should point out that Jacksonville, after the previous play, had used its final timeout. So a minute and 5 seconds left. Jacksonville cannot stop the clock anymore. The Bills still have all three timeouts. I've been having a lot of fun this morning going back and forth with people on X. I tweeted last night that I was of the belief that Sean McDermott handled that situation just fine, that you score, and if you take a knee, you risk losing a yard, first of all. So now it's second and goal from the two. The clock is, of course, running. You run it down to, let's say, 30 seconds or something like that. Maybe you take a timeout before that play. The thinking here, the reasoning is, Jacksonville has a kicker in Cam Little who's got range to 70 yards, one of the biggest legs maybe in NFL history. I believe he holds the record for the longest field goal in NFL history. Conditions are pretty good for kicking. Running the clock down as much as possible before scoring eliminates, you know, the potential for the Jaguars maybe to mount a game-tying or even game-winning drive. The Bills elect to score. The Jaguars do get the ball with 59 seconds after a kickoff return. Obviously, the Bills' defense gets the stop, as we mentioned. So my question to you, Perrin, is did Sean McDermott handle that situation right? Should he have maybe tried to run more clock, meaning take a snap, don't score, whether that's a, you know, you try to inch forward but not get into the end zone, whether you actually do take the knee? Before I turn this over to you, I will point out second and goal at the two is looked at a lot differently by coaches around the league than first and goal at the one is. Maybe the tush push no longer becomes an option if you're at the 2 yard line. So how often do they practice, you know, 0 yard gains or 1 foot gains? There's a ton that goes into this. I think it's a really fascinating conversation to have. In the end, it works out, right? Because the Bills get the defensive stop. I maintain that it's a bit of a no-win situation for Sean McDermott. If he puts his defense out there and the defense fails, they give up, you know, a game-tying field goal or even a game, you know, game-winning touchdown. Well, McDermott's taking criticism for that. He's taking also criticism. I wouldn't say he's taking criticism today. He's being second-guessed on the decision today to not run more clock. I maintain it would be a disaster to end all disasters if you get cute there and you don't get into the end zone. So my argument is you take the points and you go play football and you make the stop. I know I'm being disagreed with a lot, though, by, you know, analysts, but I think I did not listen to the CBS broadcast, but I believe even maybe Nance and Romo were saying that you should run some time in the moment. It does seem like I'm in the minority here, that people think they should have used some more clock, but I'd be curious your take on the situation.
To me, and listen, I understand the ultimate scenario is, yes, you do, I don't know, take the snap and just sort of fall down, maybe. You're good, but that's the real trick. To me, what it boils down to, Jay, let's just get down to it in terms of thinking this through. For me, if you're down by 3 points or fewer than 3 points, you can afford to kind of get cute. If you're down by 2 points, you can run the clock all the way down, spike it, take a timeout, whatever you got to do, kick the field goal, and you win, and this is neither here nor there. If you're down by 3 points, maybe you can afford, okay, we'll take a gamble. Let's get a gamble, run down the clock a little bit, and worst comes to worst, we've got Matt Prater. We believe in Matt Prater. This is, you know, shorter than an extra point now, and he's money in the bank, and we've got that in our back pocket. The worst case scenario is we go to overtime. When you're down four, to me, that's the real decider, the ultimate decider for me, because just as you said, Jay, and I do happen to agree with you on this, which is if you get too cute and you all of a sudden now find yourself at a fourth and goal from the, I don't know, 2.5 or the 2 or the 3 or the 1, and you don't get in, particularly against a defense that did a pretty good job against James Cook and, let's not forget, was the number one run defense in the NFL. If you don't get in, you are going to be lambasted from coast to coast, if not worldwide, for the rest of time because you did get too cute. I mean, no matter, even if you think that the reasoning is sound, the fact of the matter is you didn't make it in. You had the chance to punch it in from, you know, fewer than, I don't know, 36 inches away, and you didn't do it because you decided you wanted to get cute. I think if you I think you have to go ahead and get the points. And okay, Jack, that's exactly what Jacksonville wanted because they needed to get the ball back. Well, you put it in the hands of your defense. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach. He's got faith in his defense, you know, sometimes to a fault, but they'd been playing fairly well in the second half. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but fairly well. And listen, one way or the other, hey, look, to back it all the way up, if you gave the ball, if you were to go into the homes and hearts of most of Western New York and tell them, okay, Josh Allen's going to have the ball here with 4 minutes left and a chance to win. Let's go put it in his hands. They'll take that. And now, once you've got that, you say, okay, let's go play ball. Let's go have the defense try to make a stop. And if you're Sean McDermott, I would have to think that it just as a defensive coach, you say, hey, look, this is what I'm here for. And if you're the defensive players, I think you say, hey, no, look, put it on our hands. Put it in our hands and put it on us to go ahead and make one stop. And they did. And so now, look, you know, you're going to get second, just as you said, Jay, you're going to get second guess now from here to next Christmas. If they don't run down the clock, if Jacksonville goes boom, boom, boom with some of that, let's not forget that they do have great receivers that, incidentally, the Bills mostly held in check. Parker Washington got his, but Brian Thomas Jr. outside of the touchdown didn't do a whole lot. And the other, who am I forgetting? The tight end, Brenton Strange, did not go off. And who's their third receiver? Jacoby Myers. He's not the third receiver. Right. He made all the difference in the world for their offense once he came over in the trade. So, yeah, you know, listen, if they go down the field, boom, 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 to some of those great downfield threats they have, okay, it's second guess season. But I was going to say in the moment, but even after the fact, I don't know how somebody could say, I can't believe they scored a touchdown. You know, you have to, first things first, you have to take care of priority number one before you take care of everything else. And that's the score. And they did score. And now it's on 11 guys to go do their job. And that's exactly what they did. And if they didn't do it, well, we'd be having another discussion about the defense and how they need to upgrade, which we may be having in the offseason anyway. So, yes, it's easy to say because it all worked out, but I still would have said, had the Jaguars gone down and scored with enough time, I still would have said, hey, look, you did the right thing. You have to put priority number one. First things first, score the touchdown first.
Yeah, just a couple of quick follow-up points here before we move on to our last segment. But yeah, the most common argument I've seen for not doing that and actually taking, you know, the knee or the fall down, let's not call it a knee, the fall down, is that that's what Jacksonville wanted. And you shouldn't do what the other team wants, right? The other team wanted you to score so they could get the ball back. So that's a fair point. How often are 0 or 1 foot runs practiced by teams, right? What is the psychology of a player? The psychology of Josh Allen is, I'm going to get into that end zone come hell or high water, right? And that's how these guys are wired. And I jokingly kind of mentioned, you don't want to anger the football gods in that situation, right? You don't want to get cute, right? We're going to decide, not only are we going to decide to score, we're going to decide when we score, right? That's just not how the NFL works. 4th and 1 against Houston, if you go back to week 12, I believe that was. Dawkins jumps off sides. He turns 4th and 1 into 4th and 6. 2 years ago against Minnesota, Perrin, before you arrived, Josh Allen fumbles at the goal line, right? The same snap that he's taken literally thousands of times. He drops it, or he's at the goal line and he just drops it. They lose that game. They lose the game against Houston, largely because 4th and 1 became 4th and 6. I'm not saying that those are likely outcomes in this situation. They are certainly not. But to ignore their potential and their possibilities is a mistake.
Right. It's possible. And if it does happen, you're never going to hear the end of it. Never.
Exactly.
The entire nation's watching.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a really fun conversation to have. Fun. I can use the word fun because it's in a win. It worked out for the Bills, but I think it is, it's something a lot of people are talking about, and I'm glad we touched on it.
So, Jay, on to Denver. We know that the six-seeded Bills will be playing the first-seeded Denver Broncos on Saturday. As of Monday afternoon, we don't know the time yet. That, of course, hinges upon the game tonight. We will wait to see whether they will kick off at 4:30 or 8 o'clock on Saturday. But one way or the other, Buffalo, in a little bit of a surprise to me anyway, goes into this game at the moment as a 1.5 point favorite. The Broncos are, as I said, the number one seed in the AFC. They are coached by a guy named Sean Payton, who I've seen once or twice. He has taken now 11 teams to the playoffs. He has a Super Bowl ring, which he won with the Saints in Super Bowl 44 against the Colts. He's one of the best in the game, and he's got an offense that is up and down. They're 15th in total offense in terms of yards per play, but they do have the best defense in the NFL, the top-ranked defense in the NFL. And, of course, with the first seed, that means they had a one-week bye, and they got a chance to get some of their players healed up. We're looking at Dre Greenlaw, who I don't have it in front of me now, but I believe he either played 8 games or 10 games this year. He may have a chance to come back now. Josh Franklin Myers, the pass rusher with 7.5 sacks this year. He has a chance to come back from, if I'm not mistaken, a hamstring injury. And then J.K. Dobbins, who has been dealing with a hamstring, if I'm not mistaken, a foot injury. He will have the chance. He's their leading rusher. They split time between him and R.J. Harvey, but he has a chance to play in this game as well. This is going to be difficult, and it's going to be difficult not only because you've got a talented team that is much, much, much improved from the team that the Bills saw last year when they beat them 31-7 in the wild card round. They're going to Denver, high altitude, of course, and as I said, they're going up against a coach who's got what Sean McDermott is going after, and that's a ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. And, you know, you mentioned some of the key stats for the Broncos. Just in looking at a few of those, they are the best third down defense in the NFL. They are also the best red zone defense in the NFL. So a couple of my keys to the Bills beating the Jaguars were convert on third down, stay on the field, win the turnover battle, and convert touchdowns in the red zone, right? Turn red zone trips into touchdowns, not field goals. The Broncos are very, very good at preventing that or limiting teams from doing that, I guess I should say. Not great, though, in terms of turnover differential. They were -3 on the season. They gave the ball away 40 times. So maybe there are some opportunities there for the Bills. As you mentioned, this is a Broncos defense that is legit. They are very, very talented. They only finished with 28 sacks, which is a little interesting because I remember last year that number was much, much higher. Sacks don't always tell the full story, though, right? Pressure rate, that kind of thing. You would expect with the third down defense that they have that their pressure rate is pretty good, that they're forcing incomplete throws. We're not groundbreaking analysis here. The Bills are going to need Josh Allen to be healthy, number one, and they are going to need him to be at his best. I do think some areas, though, match up for the Bills pretty well. You mentioned Dobbins coming back. He led them with, I think, only 770 rushing yards. They do not have an overwhelming rushing attack. And if they can force, you know, Bo Nix into being one-dimensional, I think that is probably the recipe. Again, it's early in the week. We're going to see kind of how this plays out as we dive more into the Broncos. I know Lance Lysowski, my colleague, is going to be writing a little bit about the Bills' pass rush here in the next couple of days. And, you know, if you're looking for areas where I'd like to see improvement, I think Joey Bosa's got to give them more than he did against Jacksonville. Thought Rousseau did okay, but you would like to see a little bit more consistent pressure defensively. I think they only had one sack of Lawrence. Offensively, can Cook do a little bit more? I mean, he just saw one really good defense. He's going to see another one now. But I think there may be some more opportunities for James Cook than there were against Jacksonville. I will credit, you mentioned giving Joe Brady some credit earlier. I thought they stuck with the run enough against Jacksonville, even though it really wasn't there and it was sort of tough sledding most of the day for Cook. They didn't totally abandon it, and that's important to keep that balance. So again, listen, this is playoff football. The recipe isn't going to change, right? Win the turnover battle, get off the field on third down, stay on the field on third down, conversely, when you have the ball, and finish in the red zone. I think if the Bills can do that, they are more than capable of beating the Broncos. And if they don't, if they play an inconsistent, sloppy game, if they don't get the turnovers, if they turn the ball over the way they did on special teams against Jacksonville, that has the potential to be really costly. We got to give a shout out to the defense for stopping that. Before we wrap things up, Perrin, you got anything on the AFC as a whole? Obviously, we saw New England advance. Really, I thought the Chargers looked inept offensively. I jokingly tweeted, does Justin Herbert owe Greg Roman money for some reason that his offensive coordinator is actively trying to get him killed in that game. I mean, what a beating Herbert took in that Sunday night football game. But obviously with that win, that solidified where the Bills go. New England will host the winner tonight of Houston-Pittsburgh. We know Buffalo goes to Denver because of that. Anything stand out to you about the AFC other than Denver and Buffalo next week?
Well, I think it's interesting, again, as we record this before the Monday night playoff game, I think it's interesting, as you know, Jay, I'm a degenerate who doesn't gamble, if that makes any sense. I know I'd be on welfare instantly if I ever started gambling. That's why I stay away from it. But I am fascinated by line trends and things of that nature, futures and what have you. Checking the futures today, as it stands today, at most, you know, depending on where you shop, so to say, The team getting the best odds to win the Super Bowl at the books right now is the Seahawks, followed by the Rams, who incidentally have to go into Chicago, where it's going to be something like 18 degrees when they play. So that's going to be a tough assignment. After that, the Patriots are plus 600, and the Bills are plus 550, and the Broncos are plus 700. And then you go down to the Texans, who are plus 1,200. So What I find interesting about that is that essentially most books have either the Bill, you know, I'm seeing that the Patriots are plus 550 on one book, and so the Bills are plus 600. So depending on where you shop, it's either the Patriots or the Bills getting the best odds to win a Super Bowl. And I find that interesting because, as we said, you know, Denver's going to be a tough place to play. They've got a rough and tough defense. And you say, well, hey, the Bills just beat, you know, a team with a similarly tough defense. Well, they got out of there by the hair of their chinny chin chin. You know, we didn't mention the missed field goal at the end of the first half by Cam Little. He makes that thing, and that's a different ball game, to say nothing of the takeaways and so forth. So I expect a very, very tough battle in Denver. And then, you know, if that does sort of hold, if the odds hold and the Patriots do make it through, it winds up being the Bills versus the Patriots in the championship game. If I'm a Bills fan, I have to feel pretty good about that. It's not to say they're gonna beat the Patriots, or for that matter, Denver to get to the Patriots. But you saw, you know, they basically played two games to a draw, and the Bills aren't going to be scared of that team. It's going to be a difficult assignment. Any of these are going to be difficult assignments. The Texans are a team, frankly, that I if I were the Bills, I'd be a little bit more scared of. And you know, of course, you know. So we may live to regret that statement, but one way or the other, we saw what the Texans have done over and over and over to the Bills again, and that's a tough, tough, tough defense as well. But I think if you're the Bills, you took the Patriots' best shot. You lost to them at home when you had chances to win, and then, of course, we all remember the game in Foxborough where they get down 21 points, and they decided that they weren't, you know, similar to Sunday, they decided they weren't finished. They weren't done playing ball, and they kept playing ball, and Josh Allen was Josh Allen at his best in that game. And of course, they know the surroundings at Foxborough as well. So, you know, we know that that the Ralph is closed for good now with the Chargers' loss, and that the Bills are going to have to go on the road. It's been done before. They have done it before. I'm not going to say they will, but I say if you wake up today and you say, well, if it winds up, if everything, you know, plays out according to the chalk, and somehow they find a way to win a game in Denver, a tough game in Denver, and it will be Bills versus Patriots. If you'd have said that at the beginning of the season, I think every single person in Western New York would say, bring it on. Let's go. One game for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the point differential is the Bills are plus one in the two games against New England this year. Lost by three, won by four. So we can say this about the Bills. They're going to take it one game at a time, which is the right approach. We can, you know, speculate and look forward a little bit. They would be battle tested if they were able to do this and to move on and eventually get to the Super Bowl. It would be a tough road because, as you mentioned, we know now that the road will include being on the road in all three playoff rounds. The possibility of a home game is now over with the Chargers losing. I'll leave you with this, Perrin. We'll be back next week to wrap up either the game against the Broncos and look ahead to the AFC Championship game, or to kind of give our postmortem on the 2025 season, depending on how that goes. I'll leave you with this, though. I tweeted it this morning. There are two stadiums in the NFL I have yet to cover a game at. Denver is one of them. I will knock that one off. And the other one is Levi's Stadium, home of the 49ers, and also home of Super Bowl LX. So, food, a little food for thought here on the Further Review podcast. For Parent Keys, I'm Jay Skirsky. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for watching here at BuffaloNews.com.
This is Harry the Hammer for further review by House Crafters. House Crafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes interior home services as well as windows and doors. Call 716-646-NAIL.